You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 438 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland, coming to you live on this fine, I guess it's early on Wednesday at this point in time as I record the podcast. If you are a new listener or someone who's been around for a while, you might have noticed either way that we've been having guests on for most of the summer, not a ton of solo podcasts. As we get back into the regular swing of things, though, there'll be more and more of these solo shows, probably a little bit shorter. For the most part, when I have guests on, I tend to go a little bit longer, probably in like the 40 to 55 minute range, somewhere in there. But you know, as we get back into a more regular schedule, more like, you know, 4 or 5 days a week as we get into the actual NBA season, it'll be me by myself more often. So hopefully you guys are used to that if you're a longtime listener, and if you're a new listener, just kind of prepare yourself for that. And this will be sort of the first one of those as we get moving forward into the actual season. In fact, the one piece of news actually out there in the ether on Tuesday was that the Hawks formally announced that they were going to have their media day on Monday, September 24th. Not a surprise. That's a date that I've had on my calendar for quite some time, but that's now less than a week away, where the entire roster will gather together at the Hawks practice facility at the Emory Healthcare, Sports Medicine Complex over there in Brookhaven. Everyone will be gathering there. All of the assembled media, I'll be in attendance, talking to all the players, sort of as the unofficial kickoff to the season. And then after that, the Hawks will have training camp. I guess the official training camp is just a 3-day period between Tuesday and Thursday of next week, and then you get sort of into actual, you know, normal practice time and game prep, because the first preseason game is actually October 1st. So a pretty quick turnaround there from media day to preseason opener, only 1 week, and that's sort of the impetus there. So things will be rolling downhill pretty quickly here as we arrive later this week and into next week. So just a little bit of a filler there, but wanted to let you guys know that the calendar will be picking up quite a bit in the coming days. The other, quick note is to that we should hit on is that Cole Aldrich, something we tackled a couple of weeks ago when it was actually came to light that he was going to be signing a deal with the Hawks. The Hawks finally announced that contract on Tuesday. So with that said, now they officially have 20 guys on the roster as they enter training camp. That's the max allowed by the NBA to open camp with, is having 20 guys on the roster. The Hawks have 15 guaranteed contracts. They have both two-way spots filled with Alex Poitras and Jalen Adams, and then now they have three non-roster invitees, guys who are basically on Exhibit 10 contracts, making some money to go to training camp, but not on a guaranteed deal, and that is Thomas Robinson, RJ Hunter, and now Cole Aldrich as well. So lots of camp battles to be monitoring, and we'll talk more about that later, but wanted to at least pass that information along to you all that it's now official that Cole Aldrich is going to be on the roster and will be taking in training camp beginning next week. So the rest of the podcast today is going to be basically a mailbag show, sort of rounding up a lot of different questions that I've been asked over the last couple of days and weeks. And, as we get more into some normalcy, beginning at the end of this week and into next week, when we actually have some, concrete storylines, we'll spend some more time on news and that kind of stuff. But for now, some big picture topics that I've been asked about and that I wanted to pass along to you guys. So that's going to be the rest of the show today. And the first question comes from, I believe it's Rami Rowell. Hopefully that's not a butchering of the pronunciation, so my apologies there. They ask, predictions for the amount of success Jeremy Lin will have in Atlanta this season. First and foremost, I think Jeremy Lin is just good at basketball. That's something that's definitely worth pointing out and emphasizing, is that Jeremy Lin is very good. He's not someone who's going to be a superstar player. He had that brief moment of Lin sanity in New York where he was actually playing at that level, but for the most part, he settled into a nice career as like a, low-end starter, high and backup kind of role in the backcourt. That's something the Hawks will certainly be looking for in terms of his contributions this season. I didn't love that trade when they made it, I will be honest, because Lin is, he's paid handsomely. The Hawks didn't get a whole lot in terms of incentive to take on that contract. But on the floor, now that he's on the roster, Jeremy Lin definitely helps this Hawks team, to be sure. I think he's probably someone you can expect to make sort of, mid to high 30s from three. He's a capable scorer, capable distributor. He has enough size to hold up defensively. He's someone that I think is probably the best point guard on the team right now. Trae Young is someone who I definitely value as a prospect and as a high upside play. But for now, rookies are generally bad, something that I've been saying for quite some time. And with Lynn, you know, there is the injury concern. He missed all of last season with a pretty serious knee injury. But all indications are that he's going to be at least ready to go for training camp. I would caution everyone to just assume that he's going to be 100% from moment one, because, you know, it's a very serious knee injury. But I think if we kind of just assume that he's okay at some point in the season and kind of, you know, starts the season and is ready to play at least, but maybe not be like 100% confident in that knee, but still be on the floor, I think you can, by the middle of the year, you'll be assuming that he'll be sort of the guy that he used to be, or at least 90% of that, because he's not over the hill. He's someone who's he's 30 years old now, but you know, not a ton of mileage on Jeremy Lin at this point in time. So I think sort of as a standard of expectation for what he's going to be this season, Lin is someone who's going to be, I think, you know, somewhere between 25 and 35 among point guards in the league. He's a low-end starter, high-end backup. I think he's probably going to be the backup in Atlanta for the most part. That's something that people disagree with me on, and that's fine. I think I am predicting without too much inside info there that Trae Young will be the starter on day one, but it would not blow me away if they went with Jeremy Lin early in the season, because again, he is the better player. Maybe they you know, if Young struggles in training camp or has some issues, you know, sort of, I guess, integrating himself into the system, all that fun stuff, Lin is definitely a capable starting caliber player and someone who could certainly step in and kind of you know, play that role in the near term. So that probably is a good sort of overview on what to expect from Jeremy Lin. We'll probably go deeper throughout the season, but I do think he's good at basketball and is certainly one of the best five or six players on this roster this season. And then having that kind of, I guess, mentor figure that's also able to play alongside Trae Young will be very, very nice for this Hawks team. As we continue here, the next question comes from Sam McBuckets on Twitter, and he asks, do you believe that Taurean Prince can be a 15-point-per-game scorer and a long-term starter for the Hawks? You know, in terms of the scoring, I think it's an interesting sort of benchmark to hit for Taurean Prince. Last year, he averaged 14.1 points per game. That number was only about 12 through the end of January, but from the start of February on, it was 31 games. He averaged 17.6 points per game, and I think people that were following this Hawks team closely down the stretch will definitely remember that he had some huge games in a more primary offensive role than he probably would expect to be in moving forward. But he's certainly someone that's capable of averaging 15 points a game this season. I don't think he's going to average 18 a game, to be sure, like he did at the end of last year. The Hawks have more weapons, and you might remember that last year when he was doing that, the Hawks were playing without Kent Bazemore and without Dennis Schroeder, so it was a lot of Taurean Prince. I think the ball will be in his hands a decent amount in this offense, and I think Taurean is someone who is certainly on a short list of the most important players on this roster this season. 15 points a game is not crazy at all. I'm not sure he's going to average that, but I think it's going to be somewhere in that range. He's capable of certainly exceeding that, and for my money, he might lead this team in minutes, and that could certainly push him over the edge there. I think I would certainly encourage him. Something that Tyler Jones has been saying, a longtime friend of the program, Tyler Jones has been saying, is that, you know, sort of advocating for Taurean to get a lot of threes up. I definitely agree with that. I think Taurean should be not shy about the way that he attacks in terms of his three-point shooting. You know, long twos is something that I want to avoid, to be sure. But if you're Taurean Prince, and really a lot of guys on this roster, whether it be Bazemore, Trae Young, even Jeremy Lin, shooting a lot of threes is a good idea in general, and Taurean should be getting up a lot of shots in his offense, especially if Trae Young has the gravity that he could have early on in his passing ability. So, you know, Taurean might have a slightly lesser offensive role than he did in, I guess, April of last year, but I think he's definitely capable of landing somewhere around 15 points per game, and that was the big question. And, you know, long-term, I think he can be a starter. I'm not sure he's going to be a top two or three guy on a team, at least on a good team moving forward, but he has that 3-and-D kind of persona that you might be able to mold into a starting caliber player. You know, defensively, there are some question marks. I was very critical of him last year defensively, and I stand by all of that. I do think that he's going to have the opportunity to improve there on that end of the floor, though, and he does have the tools to be a solid defender. So that's the big pivot point for me in terms of him being a long-term, you know, quality starter. But if he gives effort on the defensive end of the floor, there's no reason to think that he can't be a good starter in the NBA, and that's a very, very nice outcome for a late lottery pick in the draft. Next question comes from Alex Miles, and he says, who do you think will take Dennis Schroeder's role as the first option on offense? Just a little quickly on Dennis, he had a top 15 usage rate in the entire league last year. I'm not sure that anyone on this roster is going to come close to duplicating that this season. Dennis had the ball in his hands quite a bit, certainly embraced that role. I do think in terms of just actual usage, Trae Young's going to have the ball in his hands the most often, especially by the end of the year, really maybe even all season long, but Trae Young is the guy who they're going to have this offense run through, especially, you know, again, later in the season. He's the guy with the ball in his hands. He'll be, I guess, playing the role that's most closely associated to what Dennis Schroeder was doing in the past. I don't think he's going to have the same usage rate as a rookie that Dennis did last year, because Dennis was, you know, did a lot of stuff, a lot of work with the ball in his hand. Let's just say that. But I do think that, you know, Trey is going to probably be the most likely guy to lead this team in usage. With that said, it wouldn't surprise me all that much if Torian Prince or John Collins led the team in actual points per game, which could be construed as the number one, you know, first option on the offensive side of the ball, particularly because those guys are the most are the ones that I'm most comfortable projecting these, like, full-time roles to. I think Torian and John are going to be playing 30 minutes a game or so, you know, along with Kent Bazemore. Those are the three guys that I kind of will almost certainly pencil into 28 plus minutes per night on this team when everybody's fully healthy, and that kind of leads Torian and John to have the inside track in terms of, you know, raw point totals, which a lot of people will look at in terms of the you know, number one option kind of quotient. But I do think Trae Young is going to operate that way. I'm not sure, you know, if that's going to come from moment one, but eventually it's going to be Trae Young in the most closely associated role to what to what Dennis Schroeder was doing last year. So hopefully that answers the question. But, you know, these point guards are going to have the ball in their hands a lot, whether it be Jeremy Lin or Trae Young, because the rest of the guys, you know, Kent Bazemore is a pretty capable secondary ball handler. Same goes for Torian Prince, but not a ton of other guys on this roster that are capable of kind of operating in that role right now. So you're going to see the ball in the hands of the point guards quite a bit, and fortunately the Hawks have two guys who are very, very talented and who could sort of operate in that way at the point guard spot. Moving on from there, I do want to take a minute to definitely thank everybody for listening to the podcast and also talk to you about the good folks at Vivid Seats. Everybody needs a break from regular life, and sometimes that just means a night out. Whether it's checking out your favorite band or show or spending the evening in a ballpark or stadium, Vivid Seats has you covered for a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for live events that you want to attend, and you can find the best seats for you by sorting by price, location, or even row in the venue that you're looking for. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners to my podcast an exclusive promo code for $20 off of orders $200 or more. Download the Vivid Seats app, use promo code LOCKEDON, and get $20 off when you place an order of $200 or more. Every single purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee, so you can shop with confidence. And again, use the LOCKEDON promo code. That's LOCKEDON to take advantage of this fantastic offer from Vivid Seats. And I definitely would recommend this service when we're talking about attending Hawks games or you know, football games when the Falcons in town, college football is heating up. So plenty of things to you know, get after if you are a sports fan, and Vivid Seats is the place to go. So again, one more time, use that promo code Locked On. Take advantage of this fantastic offer from them. Thanks again to Vivid Seats for sponsoring the podcast today, and we can move on from there. The next question on the agenda is from Andrew Marsh, and he says, who are some of the players not named Trae Young, John Collins, or Torian Prince that fans should be paying attention to as a piece for the future? Maybe more of a role player, but someone that Hawks fans should be excited about moving forward. The obvious answer for me is Kevin Huerter. I think he's easily the player that I would absolutely project to be the next kind of good Hawks role player kind of guy. Outside of that that big three of Young, Collins, and Prince, there are guys on this roster right now who are better than Kevin Huerter. Obviously, I think Kent Bazemore was the best player on the team last year, in my opinion, and was certainly on the short list along with Dwayne Dedmon. Those two guys are definitely better players than Kevin Huerter right now, but neither one of those guys projects necessarily to be on the next good Hawks team. You know, Bazemore, I guess, you know, 2 years from now, we'll talk about that a little bit later on the podcast, but given his age, probably won't be at least a key cog on the next good Hawks team. Dedmon will be a free agent at the end of this season. So, you know, trying to find a guy to match this criteria is a little bit difficult, because you want a guy who is young enough to grow with the roster and also under contract for long enough to where you can kind of project him to be on the team. So Kevin Huerter is the obvious one, I think. And of course, the Hawks have invested heavily in Kevin Huerter. He is sort of fits the mold of what they want, absolutely, with his shooting and his ability as a secondary creator offensively. I think he can hold up defensively. I'm not sure that he 100% will, but there's the enough length there, enough acumen there for her to be a solid enough defender to get by when you're talking about with his skill set offensively, which is definitely what the Hawks are looking for this season. After Huerter, it gets kind of tough, honestly. I think guys like Justin Anderson, Alex Poitras, Bjarne Bembry are guys that I like. I'm not sure I would project any of them to be on the next good Hawks team a couple years from now. It's definitely possible that some of those guys could transition in that way. I do like them, but still, it's kind of tough from there. I'm not a big Tyler Dorsey guy. I guess there's a path for that to happen if he shoots the heck out of the ball this season. But, you know, actually, he'll be a free agent at the end of the season. He'll be restricted, so the Hawks have his rights. But it's a situation where I'm not sure Dorsey's long for Atlanta either. Amari Spellman would be the obvious other choice, considering he was a first-round pick this year. I didn't love that pick. It's worth saying that again, because I just did not think that was a good value for the Hawks. But the Hawks definitely value his offensive potential. I think if he can clean up the defensive end of the floor, there's a quality role player in there. There's been some notion that Spellman's already this like really good defensive player. He was not that at college, and I'm not sure he's going to be that in the NBA. I think offensively, though, there's enough talent on the perimeter for him, and enough size and physicality that he could be a solid bench. I mean, maybe even like a low-end starter eventually, but I would be projecting him more on this like supporting rotation role, which is just fine. If you get a rotation player number 30 in the draft, that's a win. So hopefully that's the other piece that the Hawks will be adding to. And the one sleeper I would say is Alex Len. I think he's still fairly young in my opinion. It's one of those things where he has a lot of miles, but it was a top five pick not that long ago. And I think he's sort of an underrated commodity right now, only under contract for 2 more years for the Hawks. It's a pretty cheap contract in terms of what the actual commitment is, even if he might be actually slightly overpaid versus the market from last year. But I do think Alex Len's a potential guy who could be around for a while in Atlanta, considering he is pretty young. I think he fits pretty well with what the Hawks want to do, especially if he can sort of expand himself out in the perimeter a little bit offensively. I do think Alex Len's a nice little sleeper when you talk about guys who could be around for the next good Hawks team that are young players. Moving on from there, next question comes from Paul Engerhoff, and he asks, what are the potentially most frustrating lineups that we might see from the Hawks next season, I guess this season? I'm tempted to say that, honestly, there's not that many frustrating lineups that I can see coming down the pike. That's something that I always clashed with Mike Budenholzer about. I thought he was a very good basketball coach, but there were some lineup decisions that I did not necessarily agree with during the Bud era. I will say, though, this year, it really comes down to whether Lloyd Pierce will play the young guys as much as they probably should play. I do think, for instance, Amari Spellman is kind of going to be bad early in the season. I think Kevin Herter might be as well, but the question's like kind of center around what the priorities are, like how much the young guy's going to play. Other than that, there aren't that many actual like weirdness in terms of lineup stuff that I can really see. I guess playing Vince Carter too much would be frustrating, in that I think Vince might be the best player outside of the top seven that are locks. The starting five plus Alex Len and Jeremy Lin are my sort of lock top seven in the rotation. I think Vince Carter might be the best player like right now today that's not in that top seven, but at the same time, you're talking about a guy who's more than 40 years old, who's not going to be any kind of part of the future for the Hawks. So it's kind of a delicate balance there, like how much you want to lean on him. So if he's still playing real big minutes in like January, I'll be a little bit concerned about that. Elsewhere, I wouldn't be leaning into the Tyler Dorsey experience too much, especially at the expense of Kevin Herter. If it's about minutes between those two players, I think giving more opportunity to Herter is probably a good idea, because Herter is definitely would be more in my plans if I was the Hawks. And I think, based on the draft investment, he will be certainly in their plans. So other than that, I think it's just prioritize the young guys, and that's the biggest thing. If they're playing, guys who might be slightly better but not part of the future, I would push back against that, because I can certainly see myself in February or March kind of getting annoyed if the young guys aren't playing a lot. But aside from that, there aren't that many obvious things. I guess the same thing goes for Trae Young. You want him to play more often than not. All the young guys, lean on them, and everything else kind of falls into place, because as we'll talk about throughout the season, I can't imagine it's going to be a playoff team this year. So it's one of those things where you're definitely prioritizing the future over everything else, and I think Lloyd Pierce probably will do that more willingly than Mike Budenholzer did, but at the same time, he's a first-year head coach, and we'll see what happens with that. So the last question on the podcast today is kind of actually a combined question from two, and they are, the first one comes from Adam Johnson, and he asks simply, what's the three-year outlook for the Hawks? And then Sean O'Leary asks sort of a second complimentary question, and he says, realistically, how many years are the Hawks away from being an actual contender? 2 years, 5 years, do you think that the Hawks can actually surprise some teams and stick into the playoffs this season? My answer would be that this season I'd be pretty stunned if the Hawks made the playoffs. The playoff odds came out actually earlier today, or I guess earlier on Tuesday, from Bovada, and the Hawks are basically 20-1 long shots to make the postseason, and that makes sense. Honestly, I think even if I've been kind of critical of people nationally for just kind of automatically having the Hawks at number 30 in the pecking order, I think the Hawks are going to be better than a couple of teams in the league this year, whether it be Sacramento or the Knicks. Those would be probably my two central ones, but even Orlando, the couple of teams that I think the Hawks could certainly be better than this season. With that said, I can't imagine they're going to be good enough to actually make the playoffs. So that's the one thing in terms of this season. Looking ahead, I think there's probably a path for the Hawks to make the playoffs in the 2020 season, which is, you know, the following year, 2019-2020. There's a path for that, especially if the Hawks sort of make either, I guess, there's probably two paths to that. One of which is that Travis Schlenk decides to speed things up a little bit. The Hawks are going to have some cap space this summer in 2019. If they want to spend that and try to get better right away, if there's some ownership pressure, there's some ticket sales pressure, that kind of stuff, it might speed it up a little bit. I would definitely not do that if I was the Hawks. Taking your time is probably the best course of action in terms of actually building this roster. With that said, there are some other factors in place, so that could be something that could happen to speed the timeline up a little bit more than they are right now. And of course, they'll still have Kent Bazemore around, etc., for the following season. The other way to do that would be if Trae Young really pops this year, or if both Torian Prince and John Collins really pop. If Trae Young is much better than I expect him to be as a rookie, or that there certainly is a scenario where he's actually really good as a rookie, that is possible. Albeit unlikely because rookies are generally bad, but Trey's talent is so real that his upside is very high. And if he pops early on, I guess if you were to pair him with another top five rookie for next year, with some growth from Prince and Collins, you could see a scenario where the Hawks can win 40 games in 2020, and that might be enough to get into the playoffs in terms of the Eastern Conference. With that said, there's another, in terms of the actual projected arrival time in the playoffs, I would go with the following season after that, the 2020-2021 season. It's probably the most likely for the Hawks to make the playoffs. That would be three full years of rebuilding, which is kind of what I've expected moving on when this arrived. I think people are already starting to get a little bit antsy in some ways, but we're only entering year two of the actual rebuild. 2 years ago, this Hawks team was in the playoffs. It was a frustrating season to watch, but they were in the playoffs and they were competitive. Last year was the first year of the rebuild. This is year two of the rebuild. And as a result of that, I think, patience is a virtue. I would project the Hawks make the playoffs. If you were trying to find me the most likely scenario, I would say that's the third year of this rebuild will be the time that the Hawks could sneak into that, 7-8 range of the East. And then after that, you kind of, get into more fluid scenarios. In terms of the actual, projection of the Hawks being actually a contender, which is the actual question here, that all depends on the top end players. Trae Young is going to have to pop for that to happen, whoever the Hawks draft in 2019. This is going to be a very interesting draft. Recently, I had a podcast with Brian Schroeder where we talked about, mostly just basically only the 2019 draft, and he talks about a lot of the more famous guys at the end of that podcast, Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett. There's a lot of different names that could be interesting for the Hawks. The only way the Hawks can actually become a full-fledged, title contender in the next 3-4 years is if either Trae Young becomes a star, the Hawks can lure a star or two in free agency, and or they find that star in 2019 draft, because you have to have that kind of top-tier talent in order to be a contender. Even the teams that you might not think of were like superstar-laden that actually made title runs, which is basically just the Pistons in 2004. Even that team was just so loaded. They had five guys who were legitimately like top 50 players in the league. They didn't have that number one like superstar kind of guy. But even if you're trying to build a sort of a weird contender, you have to have real depth of quality players. And right now, the only guy on the roster at this moment that has that kind of upside, in my opinion, is Trae Young. I guess John Collins would have, close to that if everything broke perfectly. But at the same time, a lot of pressure on Trae Young. Honestly, that's kind of just the name of the game here when you're trying to find top tier talent. And as a result of that, I think that 4 or 5 year window is more likely to actually jump into that top 4 seed in the East. Talk about actually being a contender. So. May not be the most popular thing in the world, and again, this is very fluid. A lot of it depends on the top-tier talent, whether that be Trae Young or if the Hawks get into free agency sweepstakes 2019, etc. So hopefully that answers the question, but I think the first possible playoff season is next season, 2019-20, and the most likely arrival for the playoffs is the following year, the 2020-21 season, and hold on to your patience, folks. It's going to be a little bit of a long ride here, but hopefully we'll have some higher caliber moments, some entertaining moments along the way, and that'll help to tide everybody over until the team is a little bit better, because this year is probably not going to be the easiest in terms of the win-loss record, although there will be plenty to root for, and that's a very, very positive thing. So with that said, it's going to do it for today's podcast. There's plenty more where this came from. Actually, there's a public availability for both Travis Schlenk and Lloyd Pierce on Thursday, which I'm planning to attend, and hopefully that's going to be Friday's podcast, this sort of dissecting what's going to be said at that availability. If nothing else, we'll have a show on Friday in some form, and then next week, you know, media day, I'll be on the scene. There'll be a lot of audio from that, and we'll sort of be into the grind of the regular season. So hopefully you guys will stay with us. Please subscribe to the podcast wherever you like to listen to podcasts. Apple Podcasts is a good spot for us. Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn Radio. We're also on Spotify. Every single podcast is hosted on PeachtreeHoops.com. All the fun places that you can find the pod. And you can also follow me on Twitter at BT Roland. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Hawks and find every single episode there as well. So thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you guys on Friday.